And now we move on to West Africa. The United Nations Security Council lifted a 6-year ban on Liberia's diamond exports. They imposed sanctions in 2001 when so-called blood diamonds were being used to finance regional wars. Now Liberia is at peace. It was recently admitted to the Kimberley Process, a government-run diamond certification committee. To help explain what this means for Liberia and how consumers can help, I spoke with Corina Gilfillan. She heads the U.S. Office of Global Witness, which works to end the flow of conflict diamonds from Africa.
Blood diamond is a diamond that's been used to fuel civil wars and conflicts. Sierra Leone and Liberia are two examples of countries where the diamonds in those countries fueled brutal civil wars. In the case of Liberia, the warlord Charles Taylor used revenues from diamonds to prop up his regime, his very brutal regime. But he also used diamonds to support the RUF, the rebel group in Sierra Leone that waged a very, very brutal civil war in that country. More than 250,000 people died, and where some 1.3 million people were displaced. This also happens in Angola and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Because diamonds are so small and they're so valuable, they're very easily smuggled. They can be very easily exploited from warlords like Charles Taylor, by rebel groups, by insurgents, by terrorists. So this is a challenge that has faced not only Liberia, but many other countries in Africa.
Diamonds are big business in America, and the Kimberley Process was designed to try to make sure that people get diamonds that weren't involved in conflicts, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. The Kimberley Process was launched in 2003 in response to these brutal civil wars in Liberia and other places. The idea was to try and have a more proactive approach through this diamond certification scheme to try and prevent diamonds from fueling conflict. Now, Liberia wasn't part of that process because Liberia is just now coming out of conflict, and it's been in the process of putting into place a set of government controls to try and make sure that diamonds can't ever fuel conflict again. So now that we have this Kimberley Process in place, which has about over 70 countries participating, all the major diamond trading and producing countries, but I think that there's important caveat to this is that there's a lot more work to be done. The Liberian government did come up with a system of controls, but has yet to enforce them, obviously, because the sanctions have just been lifted. So there's going to be a real challenge of making sure that the government controls are enforced effectively to combat smuggling and to control all the diamond mining areas in Liberia, particularly the artisanal diamond mining areas. These are the mining areas that are very, very difficult to control, and that's where the whole blood diamond problem arose, when rebel groups or warlords like Taylor could go into these diamond areas and take control and trade the diamonds for weapons.
Let me stop you for one second, though. You use this term artisanal mining. What kind of process? Are you talking about a different kind of process, a different kind of mine? What do you mean by that?
Yes, mining that Sierra Leone and Liberia have mainly is the artisanal mining. And this is when the diamonds are found across riverbeds. And that's where you can go and take a sieve and you can, go into the water or along the riverbeds and actually
like being a gold prospector
diamonds.
That's right.
Exactly. That's a good comparison. Yes. And you don't need a lot of equipment, so anyone can really do it. And one question is how much should you rely on that kind of diamond mining to really bring good jobs to Liberia? I think the strategy for the government is not just to make sure that artisanal mining sector creates jobs, but also to create other kinds of employment opportunities for people so that they can make a decent living.
Let's go pull out to the consumer. So you have diamonds that can be found in riverbeds, and some of them have been used in order to fuel civil wars. Some of them could be used to support families and to grow the economy. But what about people who buy diamonds? I would gather mainly off of the continent of Africa.
Yes. I mean, the United States is the largest consumer of diamond jewelry. Americans buy half of the diamond jewelry sold worldwide, which is about $33 billion a year in U.S. sales. So I think American consumers have such an important role to play. And I think the diamond industry realizes that the gem diamonds, their only value is symbolic value, right? Their association with love and purity. So I think that any kind of consumer pressure on the diamond industry, particularly on retailers, is very, very effective in making this industry change, because this is not just about the Liberian government getting their controls right. It's about diamond traders and diamond manufacturers asking questions and making sure that they only buy diamonds from responsible traders and responsible miners. So I think that we have a huge role as consumers to play in trying to combat this problem. Global Witness has done a survey of the top 37 retailers. These are the biggest retailers in the United States and in the world, to find out what they're doing to combat conflict diamonds.
If you're someone who is buying a diamond or looking for something, a jewel for yourself or for someone else, should you ask questions when you go in to buy that diamond?
You absolutely should ask questions. You know, first of all, you should ask, what is your policy to combat conflict diamonds? In our survey, we found that many companies really didn't even have a response to that. But I also think you can ask questions like, you know, where do your diamonds come from? What are you doing? You know, what kinds of policies do you have in place to make sure your suppliers are responsibly sourcing diamonds? Do you support the Kimberley process? The industry as a whole, including diamond retailers, agreed to this kind of self-regulation, this kind of chain of warranties, where they only buy diamonds from suppliers who commit in writing to supporting the Kimberley process and the committing to buy only conflict-free diamonds. And I think that's where consumers can also ask questions to make sure they're buying from a retailer who subscribes to that system.
Overall, though, is the Kimberley process a process that is going to ensure that the diamonds are mined and sold without harming people, or is it a flawed process in and of itself?
Global Witness certainly supports the Kimberley process, and we've been involved in trying to strengthen it. It has some serious loopholes at the moment, and we're trying to close those loopholes to make it work. But I think that it's, you know, the Kimberley process itself is not going to solve this problem entirely. I think that, you know, it's really also down to governments, it's down to the industry, which, you know, in our mind, through all the research that we've done, hasn't done enough to follow through on commitments, or hasn't been enough of a change, or needs to be more transparency and more accountability. But I think that it really is down to the government level and the broader development governance kind of challenges. I think that we can, with the Kimberley process, we're making it more difficult for diamonds to be used to fuel conflict. But again, this whole challenge of the artisanal diamond mining sector, how do we bring greater stability to that sector? How in Liberia to make sure that diamond diggers are you know, getting a fair wage, or, you know, working in fair conditions? I think that's the kind of long-term change that we need to bring about. So we need stronger government controls in the Kimberley process. We need more enforcement of those laws, I think, across the board. But I think that the challenge for this is not just with the Kimberley process. It's a broader development challenge that we all face. And I think the more that we can bring in NGOs in those various countries and help with government enforcement, but look at these issues of a better, you know, ensuring a better living condition for the diggers and ensuring other kinds of employment opportunities, I think that's really going to be the answer for Liberia and other countries.
Karina, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Karina Gilfillan heads the U.S. Office of Global Witness, and we've been talking about the recent U.N. Security Council decision to lift diamond sanctions in Liberia. You can read the Global Witness Amnesty International U.S. Diamond Retail Survey at our website, npr.org/news and notes.